I'm calling the meeting to order. The first discussion item is the update on website and social media. Steve, would you, I wasn't here the last time, and would you just give me a quick rundown of some of the things that we talked about related to that?
On item two?
Yeah.
I think we just got our normal reports on
On
utilization of the website and social media.
So Amelia's going to try it.
Amelia's going to get a cable, but I think that what she shared last time is that there have been some changes to the reports that are available. And so they were different from what we had previously. And so there was some, work that needs to be done to get it to be back to what we had seen before.
Okay.
And I don't know if you want to elaborate on
and
that.
Here comes the reports I can show you all because I was able to go in and work on it. It was there.
So it's small.
So I was able to go in and work on it and recreate a report as close to what we had before.
Okay.
But I need to make the page smaller.
Well.
So you can see it all. So I still have the total number of users that we have. This has total revenue because it's kind of a canned report. And most people use it right to make money somehow, but we don't. So I couldn't figure out how to get rid of that. Where do our users come from? Organic search means that they just went on and said, Rancho Murrieta CSD. Or like CSD.
CSDs in California or something, yeah.
Entered some search words that brought them. Now, direct search means they went to rmcsd.com.
Okay.
How long was everybody on there? I had 1.4. So 1,400 new users, 1,600 users altogether. Where they came from, the United States, this is always my most interesting fact. India, okay, that's new. Canada, Brazil. I don't understand why these people care about us.
There's no way to find out, is there, when people log on what they're looking for or what
no.
they're doing? No.
No. If I could say... Oh, the people from Canada looked at this page. I haven't figured out how to do it yet.
Right, that's okay.
I don't know if I can jump down that far.
That's okay.
But this is what I'm really interested in. What page did they look at?
Okay.
All 1,400 of them obviously went to just that main page. People are looking at how to pay their bill, what kind of jobs we have, our phone numbers, how to contact us. Oh, that's encouraging. 140 people went to the Access Your Account page,
okay.
which is the new, billing
portal.
Thank you.
That's great.
140 looked at the integrated water master plan,
which is also a little encouraging.
Yeah.
No, actually, I was just thinking how discouraging that is.
Well,
that only 140 people have bothered to take a look at it.
Yeah, well, because other than going on there, you can't see that story map and all that rich information that Lisa and Dan have provided us.
Right. Is that the IWMP that you're commenting on, or the accounts? How many on the IWMP?
140.
Oh, so that wasn't the new accounts?
Same number.
Oh, okay.
It's the same number.
Okay.
And so this is for October 1st to October 31st. But, statistics are like bikinis. What they reveal is enticing, but what they conceal is... vital. So what you can only take it for what it's worth. And then we have our same friends on Facebook, 392 followers who are actually getting our posts into them. 1,100 people looked at our post. 191, I certainly didn't get 191 people commenting on them. Oh, the gender role, men have gone up a little bit over the women this month. Any questions?
Is this going to be bigger so I can see it?
I didn't realize that it had come out that small. I'll try. I can put it on two pages, I think, Linda.
That'd be great.
Okay.
I mean, it's a stretch, even with my glasses on.
It's, yeah. And this is the first time I've seen it
played. Yeah, right, right. Well, two is better than four. Didn't it used to take up four pages?
Three,
yeah.
But this has more information, and some of those things I knew were redundant, but I couldn't figure out how to get them off.
No, I know you said, yeah. It's fine.
I was actually pleased with myself. When I make the page bigger, okay.
Okay, are we ready to move on? Anybody have any more questions?
I just want to reiterate,
yes,
I don't intend to change my activities at all, but I am getting twice that number of hits on Nextdoor when I post announcements about upcoming meetings, or, for example, when I posted several months ago the fact that our contract with Cal Waste starting July 1 included the big item pickup once a year. I got over 3,000 hits on that next door, which is twice what we're getting here. Just making a point.
I think that what we're going to try to do here is kind of take this apart and look at the things that we have now, Pipeline, Facebook, our website, and then look at what else we can add and how we want this information to go out, obviously. I think that we can get this information to more people because by doing it in different ways and for different reasons. And the reason I say that is because people take in information in different ways. Some people like to read it, some people actually read it on the internet, on the computer, which I can't do. Some people like to print it out, which that's my favorite thing, even though it wastes paper. I can make marks and stuff on it. But when we're talking about our community, I think that there's a variety of ways that they get information, and we need to do the same thing. We need to provide them with a variety of ways to get information. And that was part of my crusade about the pipeline. We had put it online with the people who were getting their bill online, and they were not clicking on the pipeline. The link was just ignored. And it was about 300 people. And so we finally got we got that changed so that everybody gets a pipeline with their bill in the mail.
And we may be jumping ahead a little bit to item three here, but I know at the last meeting we did talk, and Mimi's talking about and has reached out actually in the pipeline asking folks to provide email and telephone. And I think if we were to reach a point where we had an email access for most or all of our ratepayers, that would be a great way for us to communicate most directly with them. Doesn't require them to do anything more than open their mailbox. I sometimes question that folks don't want to have to go, type in, get on to their internet browser and then find their way to a website to hit a link. So I'm encouraged by our discussion about that, and I assume we'll have some more discussion about that as we move forward.
Well, I think that, like I said, I think that the more different ways that we can, address what people are interested in and with the way they're getting information, the better off we're going to be. It's hard to imagine that we don't have a true representative email list, not anything to do with you, but over the years that we have not made an effort to make that happen. And I thought we could borrow it from RMA, but I don't think they're any better off than we are they?
So I had reached out to Rod Hart about a month ago and then checked in with him last week, and he said, you know, we're finding out that our list is based on your gate list. So, you know, so I think it goes back to the gate list, and then and then I think we start a concerted effort to get them. I've been handing out little flyers at events, you know, to say, here, take this, give it back to us.
Right.
And then Amelia suggested we add these to the statements.
Good idea.
This, you know, in the next few months.
Right.
And actually somebody at Kiwanis said, why don't you do a raffle? Why don't you get your board members to rally together to get a prize donated from some, you know, local company?
Sure.
And then we have a prize for the first 500, a prize, you know, for the pool of the next 500, and we just sort of get some interest in getting the information collected. Yeah. And then we can share it with the Gates, of course, because we are the Gates, and then also with RMA. These are things that change regularly, so we have to make it easy for them to also, you know, keep us updated if they move and whatnot, and that should be part of our regular account establishments and account, you know, eliminations, so that we have always a good data set. But I think that's a good thing. And then Amelia had another idea about utilizing the statements themselves. So to your comment that people learn in many different, you know, cognitive fashions.
They all look at their statement mostly.
So on the statement we could say, you know, fill out and your contact information with email and cell phone number, and then they cut that part out and send it in to us, right? So we'd have a separate little insert, and then also have the statement make that request, and then, you know, the message gets out there.
Right.
And then that would be the part that they fill out is on the back of the part that they're already sending back to us with their check.
Perfect. Oh, my gosh, that's
so
great.
Right, that's already in their hand.
You get that. I mean, I get that fairly regularly on bills that come to my house and, and stuff like that. You get that.
And maybe put a call to action on the front. Urgent, update your contact information. So
that's really good.
You know, get a hold of you in an emergency.
Tell them again, and then tell them again.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's, I think the easier we make it, the more likely it will happen, right? And most people do know their cell phone numbers and their email, and if they just have to, you know, fill out another line on something they're already going to be sending to us, then all the better.
Right.
And then I think with regard to the pipeline and the utilization of emails, I think there's a thing called Monkey Chimp and lots of other
MailChimp.
Other technologies that actually you can use to disseminate a newsletter, and then you can gather those stats to see how many people opened it and read it.
That would be fabulous.
Yeah, so we could transition. I don't know if you both know that the printing and mailing of the statements and the pipeline is about $3K a month. So it's you know.
We're not going to take the print and page away from me.
Well,
we are going to print this.
Maybe not this year, but what I'm saying is you don't get any data about how who read the paper.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I agree with you there.
Yeah. So but, it might be something that is considered, you know, in a year, in 2 years, you know, that the data that you get about the usefulness that's derived from people actually reading it is valuable. So, just a thought. I understand. I totally understand the love of paper, because I appreciate paper. I do.
Well, and I think also, how many years ago, Amelia, was it that we started to try and crank this up and make it, you know, more attractive for people to...
It was just right after I started in 2019 that Mark Martin had me change the format of it.
Yeah.
So
we worked on it for a while, a long while. One of the main things that we were trying to do was to get people to be aware of what the CCNRs are. And they, so we had columns in there every every month about, you know, how fast you can go and where you can go that fast, and paying attention to what the CCNRs are. There were a lot of articles, whatever you want to call them, and so that's how we sort of started trying to get the pipeline to be more interesting, or at least more something that you would want to take a look at. I don't know if we want to talk about this now or if we want to talk about the overall picture now, but there are things that have to change in the pipeline.
I want to comment on the distribution of the pipeline. I mean, I've moved to where I'm working more and more digitally myself. I was an old school guy for a long time. It was a very hard transition. But when I started working part-time out of my home with very limited space, it's so much easier to store stuff on a flash drive than to have multiple file cabinets. But to the point on the pipeline, I know that I opened my billing statement, read the pipeline whenever it hit the house the other day, mm-hmm. and I happened to leave it sitting on the kitchen table where we take most of our meals. And my wife, who I know would never go log in,
right.
and doesn't open half of the emails that she gets from outside sources, right. mm-hmm. picked it up, read it, and commented on. She thought it was a good addition. Mm-hmm. So they're just, each household is different, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, well, you know, there's a value to having it sit there. Mm-hmm. Maybe others will pay attention to it. Or if they don't read it when it first hits and if they don't toss it, it may sit and get referred to. So a lot of considerations. I like the idea of being able to know, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Who's looked at it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm ready to go complete digital transfer either.
And one other thing, this is a community with different age groups. And no kidding, I know people who don't have computers. And if they do have a computer, they wait for their son or daughter or friend or whomever to come over and turn it on and help them look at it. And it's probably not that many people, but it's still... People would want to be in, they're interested in what's going on in the community. So I've got 3 more years.
And there's nothing that would preclude us from doing both, the
right,
MailChimp
exactly.
and the other,
exactly.
just to be able to, you know,
get the
gather
data.
Those stats. Okay.
Okay, that's good. So do we want to delve into some of this with what we're doing now and what it's accomplishing, and the pipeline is the biggest thing, I think, but I asked Amelia to be able to put us on our Facebook page. There's the website. Steve, you've been dealing some with social media, and did you find out from Beth Badaris if that's a blog, or is she on Facebook, or?
I didn't ask Beth that question.
Okay.
I spoke to her about something else.
Oh, okay. So
are we still on update on social media and website?
No.
I think we're on item 3, aren't we?
3, yeah.
Okay, so would you like to see our Facebook page?
Yes.
Please hold.
Correct each other in private, defend each other in public. That's cool.
So you'll find that the website has 100 times more information and more in-depth information than Facebook. I usually just use Facebook for the big idea items, like there's going to be a change in your bill, or
do they have to go through all this to get to it?
No, they don't have to go through any of this.
Oh, they just turn on Facebook and click on...
Well, they turn on Facebook.
And I mean, they turn... Yeah, turn on Facebook.
I mean, they're on Facebook, and then it's all of the... Like, those... the people that are engaged with us, they get on their news feed. This is called the news feed.
Okay.
They get everything that we post, right? Now, where is it going to show up on their news feed? Who knows? I have featured items here at the top. So I've pinned this item. So that's the top of our webpage that everybody looks at, which is the most important thing going on right now. Change your credit card bills if you need to, right? If you're paying automatically on your credit card, change it or it's not going to go through in the end of November. And that was the last thing that I posted, the Integrated Water Master Plan flyer, an invitation to our past
meeting.
Bill pay.
Bill pay or meeting?
This is how to get trainings on the new bill pay, to go on and interact with the new bill pay system. Blood drive, the organic waste workshop that we had a couple weeks ago. Here, this was important, the cytobacteria in Chesboro. Another bill pay seminar. Ooh, this is when the Kiwanis came out, mm-hmm. and we were there. Our closed times. Bulky waste pickup is back, hooray. Closed 4th of July. So it's a very small amount of information compared to what...
Well, I like it, though. I think it, you know, hits on... That's what I was concerned about.
Points.
Are we hitting the highlights? And at some point in there, or maybe with each of the ones that we are also featuring on the website, you could put a little read more on the website.
I could link it back to the website.
Right, right.
It's typically exactly the same information here that I have on the website. I mean, this was just a one-page flyer. One page flyer. I could have linked this back so that they could have looked at the Integrated Water Master Plan, the story maps. And this is exactly the same text that I have on the website.
Okay, so...
So, Amelia, could you go back to the earlier document you had with the page overview? It's part of our packet.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you for...
Now that I've seen that and I'm looking at this, I have some questions.
For the Facebook page?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, I'm seeing a lot of numbers, and I don't know what they all mean. At the top, I see followers, 392. That tells me that people have identified somehow and linked themselves to our Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
What's down below post impressions and post reach, 1,148 and 1,095. Do you know what those numbers represent?
I'll know when we meet again.
I'm sorry?
I say I'll know when we meet again.
Okay. And then there's a number that says engagement, and there's 136. So what does that represent? Is that people who have actually tried to communicate with us through Facebook, or what
No.
does engagement mean?
Maybe they've shared our page. I will find these out.
Okay.
I will find these out.
Because I can't tell from this if 392 people is who's actually looked at our Facebook listing or if it's 1,148 or 1,095. So, yeah, if you could for our next meeting, I'd break.
I probably had less than 20, maybe 30 comments the whole time I've been here. Once in a while I get a message in, but it's usually about, you know, my drain is clogged up or something of that nature. And then I just send it over to whoever the responsible party is here. But I'm going to find out.
Okay, thank you.
Post engagements. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
So maybe we could make a quick list of the type of things that you put on Facebook versus or the categories.
Okay.
I have glasses, but I can never see that screen, Amelia. Is it possible to make that?
You have that in the packet, Linda. It's behind the agenda.
Oh, okay, yeah. But we were talking about it on the screen.
So I don't know if this will be helpful, but I did a quick search on that. Post impressions versus post reach. And so what I came up with here is it says impressions measure the total number of times a post was visible in a user's timeline or feed. Reach is the count of people who viewed your post at least once.
Okay.
So does that sound right, Amelia, or is that helpful?
Sure.
Okay.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure.
So then I don't have to report on that next month?
No, that seems to make sense.
But maybe I'll put like a little glossary and add it to this page so that we can continue to remember
sure.
that information.
Well, I don't do Facebook, but I'm assuming if we have 392 followers, but it's showing up on 1,148 feeds, that's because those 392 people have people that they follow or they share with. I know my wife follows some Facebook stuff, and something will show up. She signed up for my high school alumni group. And, you know, she's all the time going, hey, what year did you graduate? Did you go to school with this guy? You know, so I'm assuming it's the same kind of deal where, you know, somebody that's not directly linked. But so it looks like there's at least 1,100 opportunities for people to see our Facebook over the last month.
And if I could just shed a little light on that, I think if there's a page that you like and that you want to follow, you can actually click mm-hmm. and follow it, and then you'll be sure to get it, whereas it's a little bit more random if it's just on our news feed and
yeah.
somebody is not following us, but they happen to see it.
See something they want.
So followers is a little bit more formalized, engagement than the ones who just sort of stumble upon us. But we'll take stumbling upon if that's all we have for right now.
Well, know, I mean, the number of followers is relatively small.
Yeah.
Under 400.
Yeah.
But who knows? That may be 400 people we wouldn't reach otherwise.
Right. And as you said, not everybody's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook was really popular until the older population started using it, and the kids just immediately dropped it. And
right.
then now there's,
right.
you know, been sort of a distancing from Facebook as well by lots of folks. So I think all of these distribution mechanisms are kind of fluid. So
when the young people found out that the seniors were
that their mom
looking,
was seeing
yeah.
what they were doing,
yeah.
then it was no longer cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
Looking at their grandchildren's pictures, you know, was the end. So what do we want to do anything differently? Do we want to do anything differently? Take a look at this and see if there's some way we can attract more people, or anybody have any ideas?
I think a fundamental question, Director Butler, may be what is the goal of our communication program? It probably seems real self-evident, but it may not be. I'm assuming that our goal in having a communication plan is in providing and sharing information to the community on topics that either they identify as being important or we believe to be important. And from my perspective, and I know that this board, and Linda, you were part of it last year, a year before, the rate campaign and the Measure R campaign,
right.
And the demands from the community were, I think, intense,
mm-hmm.
Probably amplified in terms of number compared to what generally was the case. And there was a lot of mobilization, and I think that my perspective as an outsider during that period of time was that the district staff and board weren't prepared
mm-hmm.
for that onslaught, and I think there were lots of missed opportunities to share and communicate. I had a discussion just last night with In fact, it's been ongoing this morning as well. But the gentleman, I won't tell you who he is or what position he holds in the community, but you know, I made the comment that I thought that our leadership really dropped the ball, because he and I are talking about security. And I thought that leadership and staff really dropped the ball on Measure R, because when I finally dug into it, it was pretty evident to me we had a problem financially, and we were subsidizing security to a very significant proportion out of the unrestricted property tax revenue. And I continue since last December to ask for, you know, a thorough accounting of what our security force has done historically. I say it that way because I know we've scaled back a lot of stuff over the last year or so. What the costs are associated with that, and I think I know that security got dragged down in the community and the communications because of our financial problems, you know, and our inability to produce audits and financial statements, which we're on a good path to correcting. But I still think had just the nuts and bolts of, hey, here's what it's going to cost us to put this number of people on the street and to provide these services for you, and here's how much we're raising currently under Measure J.
And here's how much we're subsidizing. You know, I do want to say one thing. We put that all out there. It was out there. And hear me out. We had a town hall meeting. We had a meeting with pillars of the community, so to speak. And we had information about Measure R in every single pipeline. We had it in social media because we didn't have a choice, you know. And the other thing in social media that killed us was the budget. But it wasn't as if that information wasn't available. And I can go back, and we can go back, and we can get, you know, month after month after month of, you know, and talking about Measure R and giving them options and saying, you know, this is what one option is going to produce, this is what another option is going to produce as far as funding. And the biggest problem is that we were subsidizing security with our property taxes, and our reserves were going to Helen and Handbasket. They were, you know, not getting any attention, and we didn't have our audits, and we didn't know how much money we had to put into reserves. And it was a big problem. And what I feel happened in the end, it wasn't that we didn't give them opportunities and information. I think that basically the same group of people who said we're not going to permit an increase in budget said we're not going to permit an increase in security. And they wanted us to get it out of Measure J. Well, it's not going to happen, folks. It's and so now, as Steve pointed out, we are having to look at, with the budget stuff, we are having to look at how and what we're going to do about security. So, you know, could we have done more? I'm sure we could have, but it's not that we didn't do a lot. And it was information that was out there. Most interesting thing to me, both on Measure J and Measure R, is that you get a one-page sheet, and it's kind of the same thing that goes into the ballot. But the real down and dirty, nitty-gritty stuff of how, so what if you wanted to not do Measure J anymore? How do you do that? What if you wanted to split the money that comes in for behind the gate and in the commercial area? How does that all work? And I don't think we have any information. I've never seen any information on that, the back story, I guess.
Yeah, I don't disagree that the communications about the significant rate increase tainted the discussion about Measure R to a large extent. And I say that based on my own perceptions, and that was that my perception as a person that was reading all that material and attended a few meetings was that the CSD leadership was asking me as a member of the community to approve a significant rate increase primarily for the purpose of putting a lot more money into a reserve when they couldn't tell me how much money they had in reserve or what they were going to use that reserve for. And then at the same time telling me, oh, and by the way, we can't afford to maintain our security at the level that we are, so we need a whole different stream of money. I think the timing on the two, I think you're right, and I agree that from my own experience talking to folks, the advocates that opposed one were very vocal about opposing the other. So I guess what I'm looking for, and I don't know quite how we quantify or even chart this, but as we move forward, what I'm asking for is that we learn from our experience and have plans in place so that when we face these kinds of issues, I'm already looking ahead to when the Integrated Water Master Plan is drawn up and presented to this board, how we interact, and I use that term advisedly, with the community about the information that's detailed there and the recommendations that may come from there.
Assumptions.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of controversy now. A lot of information was shared last week. I am still a fan of direct communication, making ourselves available in a public forum larger than this room will hold. So I think what I'm looking for from our general manager is, kind of some ideas about what issues you and the management staff feel that we have need to communicate with our community about, and some ideas about the various ways that we can communicate. And then I think if we're in a position at some point in the not too distant future, Mimi, where you can bring some of those recommendations to this committee, then we can kick them around and if need be then take some recommendations to the full board. Does that make sense in terms of how we move forward?
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. I do think that, the situation a year ago was truly complicated by a lack of confidence and a lack of credibility because of the lack of clear, finalized financials, right? And if I were a ratepayer and my water district was talking about, three-digit increases to my bill per month, I would have been freaked out, that's quite especially if a lot of people are on fixed income, it's a threatening kind of situation.
Just a thought, another complicating factor in terms of security was that there was a pending personnel action that was notorious throughout the community, and there were a lot of personal opinions about the relative, the issues involved with that personnel action. And I think, I know, Amelia, you can probably verify a ton of the California Public Records Act requests that came in during that period purported to be about security, but they really were because of a couple of incidents involving the one individual that was involved in a personnel action. So I hate to use cliche terms like perfect storm, but there were a variety of issues. And again, I'm not being critical when I say I don't think that the board was prepared to respond to that. I don't think there was anybody had any experience with that number of issues and their complexity and the animation that the opponents brought to that discussion.
Margaret? I'm sorry,
yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, and don't be concerned if you don't know the answer or...
Who are you asking?
Mark.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So we don't know exactly where we are with reserves. We do know that we are short, way short, and even the grand jury, when they looked at our situation, said you don't have enough in reserves. How quickly can we get, or not how quickly, can we get that information from getting our audits done? In other words, when we get through it, maybe at least everything except the last year, are we going to be able to look at that and say, particularly in water, because the infrastructure in this community is 50 years old, and we're going through reserves, you know, every week, replacing things, et cetera, plus there are some big projects, capital projects. So how are we going to, or when, or when and how are we going to be able to find out what our situation is with reserves?
Well, let's see. So I'm day 7.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait, you were day 7 yesterday. This must be day 8.
Day 8. So, but that's an excellent question. And you know what? I mean, I'm sure that's something that everybody wants to know. And we want to get to the bottom of it. What I can tell you is we're moving the ball forward on that. Okay. When the audits get done, I mean, certainly when you have an audit for a year closed, that means, you know, that the books are squared away, at least to a certain degree, with a certain level of confidence, and you move the ball forward to the next year, and then the next one gets closed, and you move the ball forward to the year after that. And so, you know, as we continue that process, then yes, I mean, answers will start to fall out. I don't know that it would be responsible for me to give you a time on that right now,
okay,
just in my short tenure here, but I don't know if there's additional information on that, but I can tell you that things are moving in the right direction.
Well, and I can echo that. Linda, yesterday at the Finance Committee meeting, there was some really, I thought, very productive discussion. Mimi and Mark have been, and Chris have been working on this financial stuff. We talked about utilizing a tool, either the tool that we saw last year remember Vanessa put together a 2-month report for us, and Paula attempted to use that same tool first of the year, and it wasn't a very successful undertaking. But we talked about having that kind of a tool that's showing us what we have budgeted for each GL, what we have spent year to date, and I kind of like then calculating a percentage so I can say, hey, I'm halfway through the year, but I've only spent a quarter of my expenditure, unless there's some seasonal aspect to this particular GL, you know, then maybe we're ahead of the game. And I share that because I've said from day one of my involvement here, I think being able to share that kind of report on a regular basis in the board meetings, having it posted available to the community, is a critical way for us to communicate with them about what our financial picture looks like. Mm-hmm. Last board meeting, you may recall, I think I thanked Mimi and complimented the fact that she had put together for us, and it's on the website. We saw it again in Finance Committee yesterday, that punch list, if you will, from the auditors for the 2021 audit, because from my perspective as a fairly informed individual, it was impressive to look and see everything that had to be done and cleaned up, mm-hmm, before the auditors were willing to release an audit report. And we're 2 items short on what originally was almost 80, if I recall correctly. And again, those, I mean, sharing that kind of information in that format, in my opinion, was what was the biggest deficiency during the discussions when the rate increase in Measure R were turned down. And so I think we're already ahead of that game. And we talked about, you know, finalizing a tool moving forward. And I think Mimi committed that, you know, she was going to make every effort to have that report ready for us at the December board meeting. So, and then we also talked yesterday about the various places that we have investment, either cash or other investment, and that at our next finance meeting, we're going to receive information about what the deposits look like at those various accounts, maybe with a mind towards finding higher yield investment, you know, return on investment, in terms of maybe reducing the overall number, although diversity does sometimes become an important function. And that would at least give us another step closer to knowing what our reserves look like, because we would know this is how much, these are our assets, physical assets, cash assets, or economic assets. And I think that's another step closer. And I think that we then need to come up with a strategy. When I look at $10 million in the bank compared to my household budget, that's a pretty substantial amount of money. Compared to what our infrastructure and assets are worth, it's not. And so we need, along that line, I think, to develop a strategy for communicating. As I mentioned yesterday in the meeting, Linda, the grand jury, I think, somewhat arbitrarily said we should have $20 million in reserves.
10.
No, we have 10.
They said we should have 20.
And I don't know that I remember seeing any analysis or rationale. It may very well be accurate, but I think that's something, and we talked about that with Michael yesterday, as, you know, we're working on our capital improvement plan and others. I think that we need to then have a meaningful discussion about what our real reserve needs are, how we get there, and that all needs to be part of our communication plan with the community. I always come back. You know, for me, everything starts and ends with communication.
So, see what you think about this. Oops. We're going to be, I mean, we are working on a lot of different things. We've got the audits. We've got Integrated Water Master Plan. We're looking at capital improvements and security, et cetera, et cetera. What if in each pipeline or even on each Facebook page, we gave a brief summary of where that process was? Pipeline, Facebook. In other words, it would be consistent. So you would do the same headings every month until they're done, until we're done with the audits. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like a huge explanation or whatever, but, you know, it's kind of like what you do, Mimi, in your general manager's report. If you take some of that quick information and say, this month, this is what's happening on budget or on, pick a heading, on security, on any
audit,
of the things that we have. What's that?
On the audit.
On the audits, yeah, right.
Yeah, I like the idea of including some of that information, and I think I may have a few months ago recommended something very much like that. Let the folks know what we're doing, and that was why I thought the punch list, you know, was an example of, hey, look, this is, I don't know that there's a sufficient content to do all of those things every month, but I think that if there's a significant, you know, change, for example, if in December we are able to produce a tool that shows us year-to-date expenditure against budget, that might be worth noting in the pipeline. Hey, it's out there, it's available, you can see it with the board packet. I mean, and so I like that idea of
Well, I think...
What I used to tell my staff when I had staff working for me, celebrate your victories. Celebrate your victories. And every time we make a step forward and improve a process or create information that we can share, in my mind, that's a victory here. And I think we should be celebrating it beyond just the board, because we know nobody shows up. Very few people show up. And our best chance of sharing that is there. So I like the idea. I just don't know there's enough content to do it every
month. Well, I think that maybe we could make a list of things that are pertinent right now, and that list would change. I don't want to see another thing about organic waste recycling. We're done. The little extra green waste pickup, that's great.
Okay.
But there's room in this paper, this newsletter, to put a lot of things in it that we, like I said, let's make a list, that we could be putting in here that we aren't. And I think that it's part of the reason is because we have to organize it. And that's not Amelia's job. I don't know whose job it is, but we have to organize it. It has to be like every month we have committee highlights of the meetings. I'd like to see more. I know people disagree with me, but I'd like to see a little bit more actual information on what we talked about. There's also, or there used to be, development. I don't see anything about development on this one.
The committee told me to stop putting development in.
Which committee?
This committee, some months ago, said that we don't need to know about development because there's really not that much happening in development right now.
And I remember that discussion, and I think that's my point, is that I agree. We ought to come up with a list of those kinds of things that we should be kind of watching for in advance and say, hey, here's a development, pun intended,
okay,
on this issue. It's worth reporting. Now, to some extent, we're hampered by the timing on the newsletter because it only comes out once a month. It comes out after the first, it arrives in my mailbox 3 or 4 days into the month usually. So anything about the close of the previous month or happening the first couple of days of the month is already old news by the time it hits the mailbox. But I agree. I like that idea, Mimi, as you start to come up with, this kind of your recommended plan. Again, and I'm asking you to do that because you know what your resources are here. You know all the issues that you and your staff are juggling. Mm-hmm. And what I would like is for you to try to put together a recommendation for us, identify those lists of topics that we should be addressing through some sort of communication, whether it's the pipeline or it's an email blast or it's Facebook or, whatever, and bring that back to us for discussion, refinement, recommendation, and then either this committee can provide you with some direction about what, we think about our plan moving forward, or we take it to the board. Mm-hmm. I am of a sense that there may be one or more members of our board that really doesn't hold a lot of stock in communicating with the public. And that bothers me. And it may be a residual impression from those bad experiences we had a year or so ago. But we'll see. But are we asking too much there?
No, I think that's very appropriate and very consistent with your fundamental question about what the goal is of our communication. And I try to hit many of those topics in the message from the GM, mm-hmm, in a very, a succinct, distilled manner. And then if we have a larger article, I'll reference it so that, that if they don't have time to go through the whole thing, if they don't have it sitting around so that they could pick it up again later, they at least get a synopsis. And I think that top of my head, the things that come to mind that need to be shared are like the safety of the water, the security issues, the billing issues, any changes we're making. And I do agree that, the emotional bank account that existed with the district and the community was in the red. And so now it's all about building it back up into the black and having them trust us and making sure that we are transparent and even over-communicating about the things that are coming down the pike. Because that'll, you know, change the whole tenor of how we interact with each other. So I will come back to you next month with a list of things that I think should be kind of our regular messages.
Like headings, if you want to call it something.
Sure.
Like that.
Topics.
Yeah. Right, right.
And then we can figure out, like, what the best way is to package those messages and deliver
parts
those.
Of what we have for communication you want to put those in.
Correct. Yeah.
I want to say one thing. it's my pet peeve. It's something that can be rectified very simply by using bullet points. People look at this. It's not tiny print, but it's, you know, it's, there's a lot of words there. One of the reasons why they like to go to the internet and go on Facebook and all wherever else they go is because it takes them, they punch in or whatever you do, and they look at it and they try to get the quick summary of it. So I have always felt very strongly, Amelia can tell you this.
Yes.
Bullet points. Have a temper tantrum one day about this is great, you know, we've got this set up, but on the front page you've got to point out where the topic's changing, what the message is that we're covering, and I think the front page should be for the single most important things that we're doing, and right now it's development and the Integrated Water Master Plan.
So I'm kind of getting conflicting messages because last month we talked about the importance of it being the message from the GM front and center at the same spot.
Well, I wasn't here for that.
I understand. I'm just
sorry.
Explaining my directions,
right,
the directions
right.
I've received. So,
well, what do you think?
I think that I don't know that I share the concern about development because I you know, where it's complex. There's not a great deal going on. There's a great deal pending, and it relates very closely to the Integrated Water Master Plan because the growth, you know, the build out that's anticipated clearly is going to greatly increase the demand on water, and so I agree that we need to continue to communicate. I don't know that needs to be on the front page of the pipeline every month because I don't know that we have enough going on for content. I personally like having the GM's report right up front to the extent that it's an avenue for our new, if you will, general manager to demonstrate to the community the things that she and her staff are working on in the community's interests. And you know, there may be a reference to, you know, a meeting with the consultants or an upcoming town hall meeting or something. But I think it's more important on that front page to say to the community, look, here's the things we're doing for you, and here's the ways that we're improving, you know, how things have been done here over the last several years.
Well, okay. I'm going to go back to the Integrated Water Master Plan. It is the single most important thing that's happening in this community right now, with the exception of getting our finances straightened out. And I listened at that meeting the other night, and the landowners, developers, or whatever, must have mentioned three different numbers for lots that were available for building. I mean, if they don't know what's available, how do we expect the community to know? And so we missed the boat, and that was not your fault, Mimi, but we missed the boat when this whole thing started, and we didn't even tell people what happens with the integrated, or if we did, it was in a format that I don't remember seeing, but we didn't even tell them that this is what happens with the Integrated Water Master Plan. This is why we're doing it. What happens next after the Integrated Water Master Plan? Where does the developer take it? Where can the community take it? So I feel like we really missed the boat with that, because I feel like the community is still confused about that at times. And development in this community, there's only one left. The residences are approved, the retreats are approved, the Riverview is approved. Nobody knows what's going on with Lakeview. But and the commercial area was approved. All of that was approved by the county. We don't have any choice. I mean, we have to find a way to provide water for all of those things that are built out and being built out. The only one after that is the 697 lots around the reservoirs. So what's going to happen with that development-wise is very important to the community, and it is especially important in light of us figuring out what we have in terms of water. So,
But I don't think there's any meaningful activity around that development. What are we going to talk about? We're not in a position as the board for CSD to advocate whether that development should go forward or not, unless we have a tie-in to our infrastructure or our water supply. And I thought we did a really good job at the first town hall meeting explaining that this data is going to be gathered about supply, this data is going to be gathered about demand and projected demand. I'm getting a sense that people already have a feeling that with what development has already been approved, that our demand is not going to be met by our available supply. And I think there's already some discussions started about what alternatives might be pursued. Aside from that, I don't know, you know, I mean, we're not going to get into a discussion in the public about this, the nuances of those FSA 670s, which, you know, I cut off that discussion the other night because I didn't think that was the appropriate time or place. And we've asked our council to provide some sort of response. You just made the statement that we're responsible to provide that water. And I think generally, you know, that is known. I said the same thing Thursday night. We have a contractual commitment.
To the existing properties that are being built right now, nobody knows what the, or nobody's informed about what the contractual responsibilities we have to that 697 houses out around.
I agree, but I would propose that we see what the Integrated Water Master Plan looks like, what it tells us about our ability to meet the water demands for that which is already approved, and then have an interaction and communication with the community about where do we go from there. And it may lead us to the need to have a much more in-depth discussion about that last set of development around the Back Lakes. But I don't think we're there yet.
And you don't think that it would be important to even make that a part of the pipeline or a part of what we're communicating to the...
Is that for me, or is that
anybody?
For...
Well, I'm open. What is it you're suggesting that we need to communicate in that regard?
Basically, I feel like we, like I said, we dropped the boat, and I don't know how much we can go back and pick up. But I still think there are things that need to be explained to the community that they're not grasping, that they're not comfortable with or familiar with. And you know, we're still trying to figure out how we can reach these people, because that meeting the other night was well attended, but it was all Rancho Mirada North and retired people. We are not reaching Rancho Mirada South, and so that's another issue. I don't think it's just in relation to the Integrated Water Master Plan, but I think it's in relation to a lot of things about communication and trying to reach our residents in the South also. So I don't think you can ever when it's a big thing like this, and when we did the budget, when we had the budget crisis, and then ultimately the security measure arc, I don't know that we did enough. We did some, but I don't know that we did enough. And I don't know how much more you can do and how much more, if you do more, what is it in communications and how are we going to, I think there's got to be some creative ways to answer some of these questions. You know, how do we get to the South? How do we direct information and request information from 734 homes? So I don't know. I think we can do more, and I think instead of eliminating things, we need to look at, you know, organizing them and putting them in some sort of format that. So maybe the best way to tell people about the at this point about the organic waste recycling is keep it on the Facebook page, keep it on the internet, but don't take up room in the pipeline except for like a quickie, you know, the extra.
Just like a little blurb, like a
So
back to the issue on development. If I recall correctly, we've got an interim agreement with the builders that allowed progressive number of EDUs to be allowed in the retreats pending resolution of some other legal issues.
Mm-hmm. No. The retreats are 84 units. 22 are built, 62 are left, and they're building them. I don't know any issues. Those are the numbers.
Director Booth, I believe, is speaking about the interim line of credit of $600,000.
Oh, okay,
that was
okay.
Provided by...
That's an asset.
And we're holding back allowing hookups on some of those approved lots at this point, pending some resolution to some of that and moving forward. But aside from that, what development news do we have to share?
Very little. I mean, the residences east and west put in paperwork for grading and drainage. I don't think they've begun construction on that. There were just some plans, you know, that were reviewed. We're coming into the winter months, so they're probably not going to be able to do too much construction, but that's the only one that's really live.
So that's submitted here for our review and approval,
for
grading and drainage?
Yeah, and that's been mentioned at the board meetings for the past couple of months, the status of those things.
So, Linda, do you think it would be helpful to have an announcement about that in a pipeline next month?
Absolutely. I guess what I'm feeling is that about our communication stuff is that because we've missed in the past, you know, that there's a kind of catch-up thing that may or may not happen. But I have strong feelings about the fact that you have to keep telling people what's going on, even if it's just a sentence or a comment or whatever. Because also, if you keep telling them, maybe in one of those times you're going to get their attention, and they're going to say, "Oh, so that's what that's about." I mean, I remember not too long ago when they started building those retreats on Murrieta Parkway. People went, you know, when they were doing the grading and all that stuff, and then when the houses showed up, people were like, "Well, who said they could do that, and when did that happen, and blah, 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 blah," you know, and it was really not necessarily CSD's, you know, issue or whatever, but somehow, some way, some these folks who live here should know, you know, what's going on. And so, I don't know.
Well,
it's part of the communication issue.
I'll come back then next time with a list of things I propose to be included in how we tackle that. We are almost 15 minutes over our time slot on this, and I know you had a meet and greet with Mark and some other meetings. But
One last thing I want to say on that regard, pardon me for interrupting, is I remember when I worked for one of the unions, every month all of the business agents for that union had to write a newsletter article. And it was about what we were doing servicing our respective membership. And I think I suggested some time ago, and again, okay, it's not a matter of necessarily every month, but I think, Mimi, that there might be for you to consider, to bring back to us next time, consider whether asking your other top-level managers, your director of finance, your director of operations, your security chief, if they might
put
something in, you know, relative to what they're doing or working. And again, even if you rotate it, and it's not all three every month, but it's every third month or something, I think it's a way of addressing the issue that Director Butler's concerned about.
And then there will be
it also introduces those key staff people to the community, and again, it takes some burden off of you and Amelia for the content.
Mm-hmm.
Just my recommendation for you to consider.
I did talk to all the department heads every month, and I talked to Travis. What's going on? What needs to go? And he just told me this morning something that needs to go in the next pipeline because it's relative to the community and a ditch or something. And so he'll help me write the article. And I also ask the front office staff, what are you getting phone calls? What's the buzz? Because they're the ones who really know what the questions are that are being answered.
Right.
And they direct a lot of the content that goes on the website and Facebook to let folks know. It's okay if your checking account, if your bill automatically comes from your checking account, you don't have to do anything to change that. That's been like the biggest
phone
call.
So the new billing would be one of the things that you would say is a hot topic right now.
Yeah, the hottest topic. Mm-hmm. It was on the front page of the pipeline last month, too.
Well, we've made up for meetings that went 10 minutes. So.
Well, there you go.
Thank you very much, Mimi.
Okay.
And,
okay, so I believe that we were still talking about our item number 3 there. I just want to make sure I've got my minutes correct.
And I think we kind of flopped over onto 4.
Right.
So I'll just say that this was discussed.
Yeah, as opposed to a spreadsheet, I think, you know, our discussion was that Mimi's going to put together a list and, you know, kind of a strategy recommendation.
Okay.
Whatever form that comes to us, I think we've addressed item 4, and there's nobody here from the public. I have nothing to add. I think we're done.
Okay.
So,
do we have a motion?
And so then Ms. Butler will just let us know that.
I'll make a motion to close the meeting. any seconds here?
No, we don't need a motion. Just without objection, you can close the meeting.
Okay.
So thank you very much for coming. Adjourned at 9:45.